Welcome to the third sermon in our sermon series entitled, The Family of God. Today's sermon title, The Holy Spirit, Our Guide. Open your Bible to John 16, verses 12 through 15, and let's begin.
Lord, you are the Holy Spirit. You are the presence of God in the human soul. Christ taught us that you would guide us, that you would make God known to us, and that you would glorify Christ to us and through us. Please unite the family of God together in unity, in a unity of love, a unity of purpose, a unity of holiness, and a unity of shared hope in Christ. Empower us to expand your family into the world. In Christ's name, amen. We're studying the family of God, and the Holy Spirit is essential to the family of God. The trouble is, talking about the Holy Spirit is difficult. In 1877, Charles Spurgeon preached a sermon on the Holy Spirit to the 5,000 people who regularly attended his church every Sunday. He was so influential that the newspapers put cartoons about him. The one in the middle has Spurgeon's face on it, and the picture comes from John Bunyan's Pilgrim's Progress, and the picture shows Spurgeon as a great heart leading the people of God through life and into the celestial city. He was a phenomenon. You had to have a ticket to get into that church. So many people went to church there and wanted to go there, you had to have a ticket to get in. On this Sunday, this is what he said, the Holy Spirit has seven works. The first one is giving spiritual life. You have a soul. And that soul is capable of a life more than just a physical life. And the Holy Spirit is the one who gives our soul spiritual life. He enlightens us. That means he influences the way we think. He adopts us into the family of God. I'm going to preach a whole sermon on that. The Holy Spirit is the one who makes us holy. You can't be holy by yourself. Some of you have tried real hard, haven't you? You can't be holy by yourself. You have to have the Holy Spirit helping you. He is the author of every prayer. Every good prayer you ever prayed, the Holy Spirit was prompting you to pray that prayer. He is the one who creates association. The church is as unified as we are influenced by the Holy Spirit. He's the one who stirs up within us the inclination to spend time with the family of God. So let me tell you this. If you find you're not interested in going to church and being around other Christian people, that's a giant warning that the Holy Spirit isn't having much influence with you. Because when he's having influence with you, you want to go to church and you want to be around other Christians. That's one of the big evidences that he's having influence in your heart. And then Spurgeon said that he is the source of God's comfort. When life beats us up, when life takes more from us than we have to give, the Holy Spirit is the presence of God comforting the human soul. This is what Jesus said about the Holy Spirit. Still, I have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, He will guide you into all the truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will declare to you things that are to come. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. And all the Father has is mine. Therefore, I said that he will take what is mine and declare it unto you. There is no family of God without the Holy Spirit holding us together as a family. In my life, I've seen families that have key people in them. And when that key person is gone, the family seems to dissolve. It was that key person that held the family together. And without that person, somehow or another, the family didn't have strong enough binds and ties to stay together. The Holy Spirit is the key person who holds the family of God together. Without him, we don't live in relationship to each other. So who is the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit is the very same essence as God the Father and Jesus Christ. We believe in the Trinity. There is one God. There is one divine essence. And that divine essence reveals himself to us in three persons. So in the very same way, I read the Westminster Confession description of the Father and Christ to you, I'm going to read it to you for the Holy Spirit. Because this is who the Holy Spirit is. There is but one only living and true God, who is infinite in being and perfection, a most pure spirit, invisible, without body parts or passions, immutable, immense, eternal, incomprehensible, almighty, most wise, most holy, most free, most absolute, working all things according to the counsel of his own immutable and most righteous will for his own glory, most loving, most gracious, merciful, long-suffering, abundant in goodness and truth, forgiving iniquity, transgression, and sin, the rewarder of them that diligently seek him, and withal most just and terrible in his judgments, hating all sin, who will by no means clear the guilty. God hath all life, glory, goodness, blessedness in and of himself, and is alone in and unto himself, all sufficient, not standing in need of any creatures which he hath made, or deriving any glory from them, but only manifesting his own glory in, by, unto, and upon them. That's who the Holy Spirit is. You get that? We believe in the Trinity. There is one God, and they all share the very same nature. What I don't want you to do is think of God the Father is really God, and Jesus Christ is somehow or another his diminutive form, and then under Jesus is this strange Holy Spirit that kind of weird. That's wrong thinking. The Holy Spirit is equal to Christ and the Father in every way. If the Father and Christ are to be worshiped, he's to be worshiped. If they're to be honored, he's to be honored. And the family of God doesn't work if the Holy Spirit doesn't have influence in us. An influence that is as powerful as the Father's and the Son's. So what does the Holy Spirit do? Well, Jesus said the first thing he does is he guides us into the truth. When the Holy Spirit comes, he will guide you into all the truth. Do you know how many wacko ideas are out there about who God is? Wacko ideas. There's some guy in Kentucky, I saw him on TV, who's having people drink hallucinogenic stuff, and whatever they hallucinate is an expression of some God he made up. And people go down to his place and drink his magic juice and have a hallucinogenic knucklehead experience. And he tells them, well, that's God. A church. The way I know God is the Holy Spirit guides me into the truth. Do you get it? Apart from the Holy Spirit, we can't know God. We get stuck in some human invention and we lose the reality of the true God. He also guides me into the truth about life. Life can be very confusing. Have you found that to be true? Life doesn't always yield to what we think is reasonable. A lot of stuff that I say is a no-brainer turns out to be... All right, I'll let that go. If I want to understand life better, I have to let the Holy Spirit have influence on me. And the Holy Spirit guides me into the truth about myself. Could I remind you of this? You're never as good as you think you are on your best day, and you are never as bad as you think you are on your worst day. Church? On my very best days, I say, yes, I am the man. On my very worst days, I say, I am the biggest loser who ever lived. Can you identify with that? On my best days, I get it wrong, and on my worst days, I get it wrong. And so the Holy Spirit guides me into the truth and says, son, calm down. You're not Superman, but you're not Charles Manson either. Let's get more serious about this. See, it is the Holy Spirit's work to cause my illusions about God, life, and myself to be replaced with truth. He helps me deal with reality and frees me from the myths of my life illusions. The second thing Jesus said is the Holy Spirit guides us by speaking to us for God. Now, when I read the Bible, God shows up and talks to people sometimes. I've never had that experience. I guess I'm not high enough on the list to get that. But I have known God to help me think things he wanted me to think. And I think the same thing is true in the Bible. Not everywhere where God speaks to somebody does it mean that he showed up and talked to them. Sometimes he just helps us to think the thing he wants us to think. See, I believe the Holy Spirit will whisper to you in your daily life. I'll share some of the ways the Holy Spirit's whispered to me. There's been times that the Holy Spirit said, go tell Sharon you're sorry. You were a jerk. Go make it right. That's the Holy Spirit whispering to me. That's not my ego. My ego saying, she can say she's sorry for a change. Right? The Holy Spirit whispers to me and says, if you're going to be the spiritual leader of this home, then it's up to you to start making things right. He whispers to us. I don't hear a voice. I don't see flashes of light. I don't have any extra out-of-body experience. The Holy Spirit makes me think the thing God wants me to think. Look, these promptings can be life-changing. I want to share with you again. In 98, we had a work day at our other building. And at the end of that work day, my friend Don Dooley and I sat down on the front pew of that building over on Lund Road. And we were praying for land. We outgrew our building. We were renting the high school. And we were looking for land. And we prayed. I got in my truck. I drove down Prospect to where it dead ends into Boston. I took Boston over to Mark's Road. And when I got there, I felt this little thought in my head, drive back up to 82 and pray for land. It was just a thought. So instead of turning left toward Medina, I turned right toward 82. Came up here at that stop sign out there, the stop sign on Mark's Road. I looked across the street, and there was a big green and white sign on this piece of property that said for sale. They put it up the evening before. They put it up on Friday evening, and I saw it Saturday morning. Tuesday, we looked at the land. Thursday, we put a bid on it. Church, it made all the difference for our church's history. Just one little moment where the Holy Spirit said, drive up to 82 and pray for land. I could have turned left and gone home and not known until it was too late that this property was for sale. You see, these guidings of the Holy Spirit, they make all the difference in the world. And if we're Christians, we have to be willing to trust his promptings. Now, if you hear a prompting to jump off a building because you can fly, that's not the Holy Spirit, that's psychosis. The Holy Spirit doesn't prompt you to do nutcase things, church. He prompts us to do the things that God is at work in to accomplish his perfect will in the world. So here's what I'm saying. You have a soul that is capable of listening to God. I'm not talking about your physical ears. I'm not talking about your six senses. I'm talking about the human soul is a receptor to the divine. You just have to learn how to tune it in. Do you understand me? You have to learn how to be still and hear in your inner self the presence and the reality of God. You can be an atheist all you want. I can't. My soul has felt his presence. I've heard his whispers. He's an undeniable living reality to me. He's undeniable to my soul. Church? I believe we have better homes, better workplaces, better lives, and a better church when we learn how to listen to the Spirit who speaks to our heart for God. I believe Christianity becomes a boring duty when we can't sense the presence of God in our souls, church. Then Jesus said, the Spirit guides us to be prepared for things to come. He will announce to you the coming things. Would you be surprised if I could tell you, I know what God wants you to do in 2019. Would that be surprising to you? Here's how I know. The Apostle Paul told us. He said in his letter to the Galatians, The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Do you hear this? That's the Holy Spirit announcing to you things to come. Do you know what God wants out of you this year? He wants you to be more loving to the people in your life. Do you know what the Holy Spirit is announcing to you for this year? He wants you to have a deeper well-being in your soul. He wants you to be at peace in yourself and bring peace to the world around you. God help us. He wants us to be more patient. And some of us really need his help on that, don't we? He wants us to be more kind, useful. Remember, kindness means useful. He wants us to be good to people. He wants us to be faithful, gentle. The Holy Spirit announces to you, this is what I want for your life. Now you tell me any of those nine things that you don't think would make your life better. Would you really be better off with less love? Would you really be better off with less well-being, less peace? Dear God, I have to tell you, I'm just too useful the way it is. I could do without being so useful. Be nice if my family could get along without me. Who wants that? The Holy Spirit is not some kind of mysterious religious tarot card that predicts how many times you're going to sneeze in the month of February. He is the one who says, this is what God would like to do in your life in the coming year. And if you will work with him, these things will be more of your normal life, and you'll live a better life because of it. Church? But I also believe the Holy Spirit prepares us for eternal life. I don't know about you, but I don't like to go to things that I'm not prepared for. I want to have some idea of what's happening and what I'm supposed to do or not do. Right? Now, some of you may be comfortable with it not being prepared. I don't like it at all. I have anxiety dreams that I stand up here to preach and I haven't prepared a sermon. Everybody's looking at me and I've got this terrible feeling I don't have anything to say. Why didn't you write a sermon this week? They're anxiety dreams. I don't like to be unprepared. And I'm telling you, if there's anything in my life I don't want to be unprepared for, if there's anything in my life I want to be prepared for, it's for what happens to me when I close my eyes in death. I'm not rolling the dice on that one, church. I am not risking eternity. And so how do I prepare myself for eternity? Well, that's the Holy Spirit's work. He's at work in me, reshaping my soul so that more and more I'm ready to let go of this life, and my soul is prepared for the thing that is to come, eternal life in the presence of God. See, that's the way it's supposed to work. When you're young, you're supposed to be attached to all this stuff. You're supposed to be thinking about it and planning about it and asking the Holy Spirit to help you get a good job and have children and help them to grow up well, and you're supposed to be fully engaged. But as we age, it's the Holy Spirit's job to say, now you need to start thinking about, are you prepared for what's next? And what are you doing to prepare your soul to live forever with God? Church? It should only make sense to us. When I was a young man, I had to go to college and seminary to prepare myself for my career. Some of you had to do all kinds of things to prepare yourself for your career, and that made perfect sense to you. Now, I'm saying one more time, it's the Holy Spirit's job to start working in my inner self and saying, you need to be prepared for the big transition. Your soul needs to be prepared to live forever with God. And it's his work to get me ready for that, church. And if I will cooperate with him, he'll do that. But if I shun him and I ignore him and I keep myself so busy with the day-to-day nonsense that keeps me rushing and rushing, I may find that I come to the end not ready. Because I haven't yielded my inner self to the Holy Spirit. Then Jesus said, the Holy Spirit guides us by glorifying Christ. Remember last week I told you this? I believe one of the biggest problems of Christianity is we have a little Jesus instead of a magnificent Christ. And we begin to believe that the challenges of life are a little too hard for Jesus, and we have to look in other places. You know, Jesus is nice for Christmas, but when January 5th gets here, I got to have some real solutions for life. That's what we begin to believe. Because we've made Jesus way too small. We've lost our sense of the majesty of Christ and who he is and what he's capable of doing. I believe it's the Holy Spirit's job to remind me again and again, there is no more awesome force in my life than Christ. He is majestic. He's awesome. The Holy Spirit reminds me, Christ is gracious, and he's always going to treat me better than what I deserve. The Holy Spirit reminds me that Christ loved me so much, he gave himself for me on the cross. The Holy Spirit reminds me that the hope of my life in this world and in the world to come is Christ. And the Holy Spirit reminds me that Jesus Christ is our peace. He made peace between us and God. And when the Holy Spirit reminds me about the majesty of Christ, I look at life differently. Because if Christ loves me and is going to help me, what might I try that I otherwise wouldn't have tried? I don't have to do it alone. Can you hear me, church? Then Jesus said, the Spirit guides us by declaring the things of God to us. The New Testament likes the word mystery. And when you and I think of mystery, we think of Agatha Christie, right? She gives you the clues, but you can't figure it out until they tell you in the end the guy was hiding. They thought he was dead. He was really hiding in another room, and he was the one killing everybody. That's not what this word means in the New Testament. I've shared this with some of you before. The word mystery in the New Testament means knowledge reserved for the initiated. So the mystery religions were, they didn't tell you their secret stuff until you went through the initiation. It's like the Masons. You got to be initiated before they tell you their secret stuff. All right. The mysteries of God aren't Agatha Christie mysteries. They are knowledge reserved for the initiated. Now, what does that mean? Listen to what Paul said. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit, neither can he know them, for they are spiritually discerned. I want to tell you that one more time. Listen to what Paul said. the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit, for they are spiritually discerned. See, there are some things about God and Christianity you can't know without the Holy Spirit helping you to know them. People who are not Christians don't get it. They think we're strange in some ways. I was telling a unchurched friend of mine about helping with this house program. And he said, well, why would anybody give money to that? They don't even know the person. He said, you think anybody's going to give money to a mom who's proven she can't handle her life and she's homeless? See, in this guy's thinking, what we're doing doesn't make any sense at all. In fact, he thinks it a little strange. When I think about this, and I think about the awesome people who are doing the tutoring at the City Mission, and I think about the 9 successes that have already happened, I say to myself, who wouldn't want to do this? You see? It's the difference between how you think when the Holy Spirit is having influence on you and how you think when he's not. Things that don't make sense when the Holy Spirit isn't having influence with you make perfect sense when he does. Church? In his sermon to his church in 1877, Spurgeon, toward the end of the sermon, he said this. Let me read it to you. A poor, starving church cannot combat the devil and his armies. Unless the church is rich in the things of God and strong with divine energy, she will generally cease to be aggressive and will content herself with going on with the regular routine of Christian work. Listen to what he said. A church that is influenced by the Holy Spirit and is rich in divine things. A church that is strong in the Holy Spirit and is strong in divine energy, those are the churches that do aggressive things. They make the world a better place. The churches who are not yielding to the Holy Spirit, the churches who are not moved by the Holy Spirit, they settle for running the machinery of the church and accomplishing nothing year after year after year after year. You can go to churches that haven't done anything meaningful in decades because the Holy Spirit is no longer stirring up people's heart and they don't feel rich in the things of God, and they don't feel strong with divine energy, so they content themselves with the rituals of religion. Church, I won't be content with the rituals of religion. I'm not interested in running the machinery. I'm interested in the Holy Spirit working in us in such a powerful way that the world changes around us. Homes change, business places change, friendships change. People are bridged out of poverty. Broken hearts are healed in our helping ministries. Addictions are overcome in our helping ministry. People's souls grow and they're ready to live forever with God through our life groups. That's the church vibrant. That's the family of God living well and influentially in the world. And at the center of it is your personal relationship to the Holy Spirit and how he influences your thinking and how he persuades you to try the next right thing. He gives you courage. And we begin to dream that it's just very, very possible that God can do remarkable things in our church because His Holy Spirit is in the center of us and He's calling the best out of all of us. Our dear Heavenly Father, I pray that the Spirit would have His way in our hearts. Pray that we'd be more sensitive to Him. I pray that we'd be more open. I pray for those who have known the meaning of Your presence. I pray that You'd grant them the ability to live in that light. I pray for those who have never felt Your presence in their inner soul. I pray that this morning, in Your own way, You would help them to sense the presence of Your reality. I pray that they could be still and know that You are God. Then I pray for those who are really not interested in You at all. They got brought here today for one reason or another. I pray that You could sow a curiosity in their heart. And that curiosity might lead them on a pathway that connects them to You in a real and undeniable way. And then I pray for us as a church. Oh, that Your Holy Spirit would be poured out upon us and we could be rich in the things of God and we could be strong with divine energy and we would be a church that is triumphant for good in this coming year. And I ask it through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information about Christ Church, check us out on the web at christchurchohio.org. If we can be of any help to you, call us at 440-236-8282. Until next time, blessings to you.